This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
What's going on, Katie?
Nothing really. My life is pretty, day-to-day, same old shit. Not much changes when you're a parent, but also everything is crazy. So, you know, that's, I don't know how I have nothing going on, but I also have everything going on and I'm crazy busy.
I feel like you said a lot of stuff in our group chat with Sarah today, but I was so crazy at the funeral home that I have no idea what you guys were talking about.
We were talking about How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, is that the show you guys said you were gonna start watching again?
Yeah, just because it's been a while since I've watched it, like actually watched it instead of just having it playing in the background.
Yeah, I don't think that I've ever watched the entirety of it, but I've seen like good majority of
it. You should. It's really good. So yeah, I'm gonna rewatch. Really rewatch. That's what we were talking about. Nothing. Okay. It wasn't like going on about my day or anything. Nothing really happened.
Anything crazy.
No, a lot of just like dog walking stuff and TV.
Nice.
Yeah, grad school stuff's trucking along. Not a lot of update on that, you know? Just still an application process. So what about you?
Canvassing, and lots of canvassing every single day. This is okay for me to announce because the article went out today. But former Senate Majority Leader Loretta Weinberg has decided to endorse Jessica and I, and we got a pretty nice donation to our campaign.
Hell yeah!
From her PAC. So it was really exciting.
It is really exciting.
Right? Yeah, she specifically was giving to women candidates this year. And our name is at the top of the list in the article, and it's very exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's incredibly exciting.
Yes.
We were just talking about this, and I was more excited. Maybe we shouldn't talk about our days before we ask each other about our days on microphone, because I feel like I sound like an unenthusiastic bitch. I'm just neurodivergent, and it's hard for me to fake emotions.
You're like, I swear I'm really excited for my best friend.
Yeah. We've just talked about I've just known about this for a while and also just talked about this. Yeah, I'm not an asshole. Well, I am.
You knew about this before it got announced, so. I also have, a party next week for all of the endorsed candidates from the New Jersey Young Democrats, which I also was endorsed by. Unfortunately, not Jessica, because she's older than 40, but only by a couple of years. But they only do 40 and under.
That cutoff is so weird.
Which, honestly, like, I feel like it should be 50, because I don't look at 40 as being old.
Absolutely.
Not that I'm saying that 50 is old. I'm just saying, like, in the terms of, like, young Democrat, I would absolutely count Jessica because she's only 43.
Yeah. And looking at, like, the average age of the old white men in politics, she's very young.
Yes.
So she should be recognized for that. She deserves it.
You know what she is going to be recognized for? I know I was just telling you about this, but she runs the relief center here in our town. She started it after Ida, which is just like amazing. We do a lot of getting food from food banks and bringing it here to town and having events where people can come and get the food. We also did 2 back to school drive events. And the first time we had at least like 200 people come through, which was absolutely crazy.
Holy shit.
And just a lot of other stuff like that. You know, she helps a lot of people if they're still down and out for any kind of reason. Yeah, she helps them get clothing and supplies for home and just anything that she can do to help people, she does. And she's just like just such a great human being.
That's amazing.
So at tomorrow's event, it's the God, I can't remember the name of it, but it is being hosted by the, I'm blanking so hard, It's being hosted by the Somerset County Women's Federation.
Okay.
There's an official name for the event, but I couldn't remember what it was. So everybody just listen to me stumble over my words there.
It's online. They can find it.
It's online. But she is being honored as well as other candidates and people from other towns in the county who have really done the same thing and really take charge in their community and do a lot of community service and just really helping others. So I am so proud that Jessica is my running mate, and I'm so proud of her for being honored. She knows, so this is not like it's a secret. Also, this is coming out after the event.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, we got a lot of cool things going on. I'm so excited that people and these groups decided to see our answers and our responses to their questions about who we are as candidates and why we're doing what we're doing and why we're running. And they like what we're saying and they want to endorse us. Like, it's just so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very exciting.
So that's what I've got going on. We're like, God, I don't know how many days it is, but November 8th is the election. So we're just like over like 2 weeks away, you know? This is crazy.
It's coming up. It's really coming up. It's really, it's crazy.
It's crunch time. We are out canvassing from after work until the sun goes down.
Damn.
You know, it's not safe as a woman to be out there after dark knocking on random people's doors. Once the sun goes down, but, you know, trying to win this election, and I have a good feeling about it.
Me too, dude. Me too.
Well, that's pretty much my update.
Nice. I mean, should we just go right into the episode?
I think so.
Okay. So I figured that we would just sort of keep going with the topic of executions and the death penalty, because it turns out there's a lot more information.
Now, is this why you wanted me to ask my father-in-law if you could talk to him about the Doctor Code of Ethics?
Yes.
Okay. I still have to ask him. But if you're still interested.
At this point, I have talked to a few people and I think I've gathered enough. We'll get to it. I'll let you know why. I wanted to ask because it's a little bit confusing. So last week we talked about the history of the death penalty, the current costs, and re-listening to the episode still left me with quite a few questions. So today we're going to get into those questions.
Cool.
I want to make not necessarily a correction, but add a detail that I don't think I said clearly enough in the first episode, which was the 1,555 was only the number of executions from 1976 until now.
Okay.
There have been like a lot more. Mm-hmm. That number was repeated a lot. And I know I said it. I just want to clarify that. In 2004... two researchers, M. Watt Etsby and John Ortiz Simkia, compiled the list of executions that became known as the EPSI file. The EPSI file states that from 1608 to 1991 in the American colonies and then the United States, 15,269 people were executed.
Damn!
Yes. While the EPSI file is often the most cited and used list of America's legal executions, a study in 2011 criticized the EPSI file, saying that researchers should not use just that file as a complete source of information about executions.
I don't think that you should ever use just one source when you're researching something, so yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it was just people were only talking about just that number, so I have just... one other, according to the United States Department of Justice, between 1930 and 2002, the United States executed 4,679 people. So that's already way more than just the 1,551 from. So yeah, there's a lot of numbers out there. So just wanted to go over that. And I do need to correct one thing from the last episode. Because it appears that the idea of doctors being involved in executions is not as black and white as I perceived it to be.
Oh, and this is why the code of ethics question came up.
Yes. It is actually a very widely debated topic that we are going to get into in depth today.
Oh, I'm excited. Is that weird to be excited about?
No, I texted so many people, a lot of them doctors in the medical field, and a lot of them were like, I don't know, and I've never thought about this, but I'm really curious now. And I was like, well, stay tuned for Sunday's episode. Doctors' involvement in executions is difficult to track down. There aren't a ton of doctors who are willing to come forward and openly talk about being involved. L. Elizabeth Armstrong wrote for the Journal of Medical Ethics in September of 2001, saying, today, 17 states allow for capital punishment and require physician involvement.
I mean, I feel like a physician should absolutely be there if we're going to medically kill someone, but I also would not want to be that doctor.
That's where the gray area comes in, though, because they don't want the lethal injection to be considered a medical thing. They don't want it categorized as medical.
Which is crazy because it absolutely is.
Yeah. But is it because medicine is like healing people? Like the very definition of it? And that's why they don't want this categorized under, well, you know, we'll get into it. So this is still a quote from Armstrong in the Medical Ethics Journal. Some states have resorted to brutal methods, including the firing squad, which we'll get into, and electric chair. Some advocates have argued that these procedures are more appropriate, saying they better comport with the requirements of the Eighth Amendment. Some individuals assert that clinicians' refusal to participate in lethal injection is the impetus for these, quote, less complicated methods, which is totally fair. People are like, well, the only reason we want to do the firing squad or the electric chair is because, like, we don't want to force doctors to kill people.
Yeah.
But as we'll get to later, that's not the only reason.
It's also like you're still forcing someone to kill someone.
Absolutely.
What's the difference?
Absolutely. Well, the difference is, did these people swear the Hippocratic Oath?
True. There's so many layers to this.
It's like, this is so complicated. Okay, back to the quote. However, state governments are still compelling medical participation, with a few even shielding practitioners from penalty from medical boards.
Wow.
Because apparently you can get in trouble for this.
Oh, because it's against the Hippocratic Oath?
Yeah, but the state requires it and it shields them from it. In Utah,
and
a doctor...
I'm just like, before we continue
yeah.
It just makes me think about how there really is, this is just another facet of the disconnect between the medical community and our legal and political community.
Absolutely. And the thing I find so interesting is the court's willingness to allow doctors to break that oath, but then want doctors to like testify under oath.
Yeah.
Does that mess with any? It's crazy. In Utah, a doctor is required to put an X over the inmate's heart before a firing squad proceeds with the execution. Yep.
What? Why? Are they supposed to aim at it? Like, what?
Yeah, so that like you know where the heart is, because the idea is that they get shot quickly and die.
Oh my God.
In Indiana, a doctor must call time of death.
That makes sense, especially coming from somebody who's working in a funeral home right now. Like, we would still need to process that person. We need to know what time they died. That's
absolutely
on, that's on all of the death certificates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Keep all of this in mind for when I read to you the code of ethics. According to a Montana state codes, hey, guys, I read so many execution manuals. I am not okay. Like, it's not okay. That shouldn't be on the internet. And also I read at least 5 states execution manuals that I could find on the internet, and I'm not okay. If I did, Okay, here's some of it. So, Montana State Codes. An execution must be performed by a person selected by the warden and trained to administer lethal injection. The person administering the injection need not be a physician, registered nurse, or licensed practical nurse, licensed or registered under the laws of this state or any other state. So that's Montana.
So they're just out here hiring whoever the warden wants.
Mm-hmm. A person selected by the warden who's trained to administer lethal injection. But in North Carolina, right? In North Carolina, the laws say that a licensed physician designated by the warden shall be present at each execution.
Now, this doesn't mean that they're the ones actually doing it. They just have to physically be in the room and be present.
I'm so glad you asked that. The licensed physician shall perform these duties set forth in Chapter 15, blah, 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 of the execution protocol. So the protocol breaks down for the execution team members. So there's going to be A, one licensed physician, B, two registered nurses, C, two emergency medical technicians or paramedics.
Just in case something goes wrong.
And D, seven correctional custody personnel, also known as the executioners.
Seven.
I don't know if that's the average for everyone. This is just an example taken out of North Carolina.
Yeah.
The licensed physician will monitor the condemned inmate's essential body functions and immediately notify the warden of any signs of undue pain or suffering. The registered nurses supervise the administration of the lethal injections. The emergency medical technician are the paramedics. They monitor everything during the insertion of the catheters, IV lines, and monitoring of the EKG.
God, I'm so sorry. We have to put a catheter in someone before we kill them?
Oh, yeah, they usually pee themselves.
I mean, I know that that's a normal response for body dying.
Yeah.
But, like, just the thought of the fact that, like, you gotta die with a catheter inside of you.
Yeah.
And you know it, and it's not your choice. God.
Yeah. One nurse will be the execution team leader, and the other will be the assistant team leader.
Okay.
The emergency medical technician, the paramedics are responsible for the insertion of the catheters, IV lines, and applying of the leads. And then the correctional custody personnel are responsible for administering the lethal injection.
Okay.
So this is where I tried to find exactly what the American Medical Association guidelines says about executions. This is a quote from their website.
I was going to say, I feel like I'm not going to like this.
You're going to have questions. Since its adoption at the founding meeting of the American Medical Association in 1847, the AMA Code of Medical Ethics has articulated the values to which physicians commit themselves as members of the medical profession. Together, the principles of the medical ethics and the opinions of the AMA's Council on Ethical and Judicial Affairs make up the code. So it includes the opinions of these people are part of the code.
Okay.
So then from there, I found this specific section. Code of Medical Ethics, Opinion 9.7.3. And it's capital punishment. And it says, debate over capital punishment has occurred for centuries and remains a volatile social, political, and legal issue. An individual's opinion on capital punishment is the personal moral decision of the individual. However, as a member of the profession dedicated to preserving life when there is hope of doing so, a physician must not participate in a legally authorized execution.
Oh, shit.
Physicians' participation in execution is defined as actions that fall into one or more of the following categories. Would directly cause the death of the condemned. Would assist, supervise, or contribute to the ability of another individual to directly cause the death of the condemned. Or C, could automatically cause an execution to be carried out on a condemned prisoner.
So We said it was North Carolina that you were just reading from, right?
And 17 other states that require doctors to be there.
Oh, okay. So they are all literally putting these physicians, these medical professionals' licenses in danger by forcing them to do this. So how does that work?
That's what I wanted to ask your father-in-law about.
Is New Jersey, what do we do in New Jersey?
I did not look it up specifically, but it said all of this was talking about how the states protect these doctors' anonymity. So they can't, all of these names are all confidential. So they can't be subpoenaed, I guess. But like, what does that mean for this code? Do these just not fucking matter?
Like, that's crazy. Like, they literally have that stipulation in there for this specific thing. But then if a doctor breaks the rule because they have to go sit in and witness this, they just don't get in trouble?
It literally says, so here's
and I this. Not that I want, I do not want the doctors to get in trouble.
Yeah, but
it's the jails and the legal system that I have a very big issue with. But I'm just so confused as to how there are no issues.
I don't know. That's what I wanted to ask. Like, how is that a thing? Because it even says these include but are not limited to. And down here, monitoring the vital signs on site or remotely, mm-hmm. including monitoring electrocardiograms, attending or observing an execution as a physician.
The math is not mathin'.
It's like it includes supervising, consulting with, or supervising lethal injection personnel. So I don't understand how.
They're directly contradictory.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand how no one has made this a legal issue.
It has been brought up here and there, but right now, I mean, it's the same idea as in Portland, Maine, you can smoke weed, but federally you can't.
True. Okay. Same here in New Jersey.
You know, it's that, I think it's that kind of thing, but that's what I wanted to talk with a medical professional, be like, can you just not follow the you don't have to listen to that?
Feels like you have to listen to that. How is it possible that with those rules in place that the law made it so that they're anonymous? I just don't get it.
Yeah. I don't know how those two intersect. So that's why I wanted to try and talk to you. But I asked quite a few people and they couldn't really give me the answer. So I don't know.
This is mind blowing.
Yeah. With all of that being said, doctors do participate in execution. And let's talk about some quotes that I found.
Can I just ask really quick?
Yeah.
Since this is a professional thing, are they getting paid to do this?
Yes.
Oh, I do not like that. I mean, I understand why you would get paid, because you're doing a job, but it just feels so wrong to be paid to kill someone.
Yeah, legally. I mean, all the people there are getting paid.
Yeah, that's... Woo!
Yeah.
So much morally wrong with this. So much. Yeah,
it really blew my mind. And I do include some quotes. So let's unpack some of this because it really made me think.
Let's please do that.
Carlo Musso, MD, emergency physician and founder of Correct Health, in a March 8th, 2019 New York Times wrote, "Death Row Doctor, Why I Participate in Executions," by Lauren Knapp. He was interviewed by Lauren Knapp. It's available on YouTube. And this is a quote. He said, "My role in executions is one of end of life. Instead of carcinoma, that individual's dying of a court order, but he's still dying. Medical organizations have strongly worded opposition to physical participation in execution. And believe me, I've read them and I understand them. I just don't agree with them. The one thought I had over and over and over again was, if it were me there, or a family member, Would I want someone like me there? And the answer was yes, absolutely. I would want someone like me, meaning a doctor, there if I had a family member who had done something horrible and ended up on death row. I am not an advocate for capital punishment. If it's ultimately arbitrary and very expensive and not necessary. But that doesn't impact what I do and why I do it.
So seeing themselves as more of a death worker, which mm-hmm. is what I am right now, which is what the people I work with are.
Yeah.
And what they said resonated with me about wanting to make sure that they go out with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that their care afterwards is handled with respect. I definitely get that. Like, if that's what it has to be, then we want to make sure that good people are the ones doing it.
People's response to what you just said is immediately going to be, why do they deserve that? When oftentimes what put them there is them taking that exactly away from someone else.
Yeah.
Which we talked about this over TikTok today. Like, I don't believe that at all, but that's going to be the response.
Yeah.
Is, well, why do they get that when someone else didn't? When they made sure someone else didn't.
It's still a human life.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, if somebody comes to the funeral home after being their life having been taken by someone else, we in the funeral home will make sure that we do everything possible to make sure that that person gets respect in the way that they are handled and cared for until their final resting place. And I can understand why someone would want to make sure that any death is done in a humane way, no matter who it is.
And that is sort of what Dr. Sandeep Juhar, PhD, MD, and cardiologist said in an April 21st, 2017 article on why it's okay for doctors to participate in executions. He quoted, "Though I opposed capital punishment as a matter of principle, as a doctor, I believe physician presence at execution is consistent with our mandate to alleviate suffering. The AMA's position is principled and respects a long history of bioethics in this country. However, it is not practical. States that do not require physician presence typically have other medical professionals, such as emergency medical technicians or paramedics, to insert IV lines and possibly mix the drugs. Barring doctors from executions will only increase the risk that prisoners will unduly suffer. Discouraging physician participation, as the American Medical Association does, will not lead to a ban on capital punishment or lethal injection. If anything, it will only lead to the reinstatement of more brutal forms of execution that do not require medical expertise, such as electrocution or death by firing squad. A few states have already decided to use these methods as possible alternatives." Whew, that was a long quote.
I pretty much agree with everything they said, because right now, this seems to be the injection seems to be the most humane way of doing it out of all the options. And I don't want it, but if that's what the government is going to decide to do, then we need to make sure that it's not horrific.
From all accounts, lethal injection is not humane at all. And we'll actually get into that later.
Because I feel a firing squad. Ah!
We'll get into that, but it's actually the most things go wrong with lethal injection.
Oh, I hate that. Scratch what I said.
I know.
God.
I do know that in all states where doctors are involved, the names of them are incredibly confidential, and only some doctors have been willing to come forward under incredibly strict guidelines of anonymity, and a few other doctors have, the ones I quoted above, have come forward and talked about it. I will include in my sources some anonymous interviews with these doctors for anyone who's curious, alongside the sources from the quotes that I said earlier. This was a really eye-opening thing for me, reading those quotes from doctors talking about why they participate in executions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I do apologize that I did not look into it further before I reported on that in the first episode because I just took the AMA guidelines and ran with it.
I think it's even great that you decided to continue this conversation because it really is a conversation. This topic has so many different facets to it. Like, what are we going to do? Give people a 3-hour fucking episode? Like, we could probably keep making more episodes about this topic because there's so many different angles and layers to it.
Absolutely. There are entire podcasts dedicated to just the death penalty. But yeah, I just, I'm glad I was able to correct that and dive into a little bit further. And if at any point I do ever talk to Dan's dad or any other doctors and get some answers on that, I will let all of you know.
Yeah. I might just send him this episode and be like, can you listen to this? And let us know what you think. Sorry.
Just write some notes, please. Thank you.
Hi, if you're hearing this.
Hi.
I'm going to bleep his name, but hi, if you're hearing this later on.
Oh, I have to give him that flannel company. Okay. So one of the main arguments for doctors being involved in executions is to attempt to keep executions pain-free and under a certain amount of time. But as we discussed in the last episode, that is not always the case. So we're going to get into some botched executions. Pulled from Wikipedia Classic. Botched executions are those involving unanticipated problems or delays that caused, at least arguably, unnecessary agony for the prisoner or that reflect gross incompetence of the executioner. Examples of such problems include, among other things, inmates catching fire while being electrocuted, being strangled during hangings instead of having their necks broken, and being administered the wrong doses of specific drugs for lethal injections. In all that's interesting article, written by Marco Margadoff and checked by Jacqueline Anglis, says that from 1890 to 2010, it's estimated that 276 of the 8,776 executions that happened in the United States had problems. That's a little over 3%. 3%.
Wow.
Oh my God. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
So I gave kind of a general list of things that could go wrong. We're going to talk about some ways that it has gone wrong. I'm not going to get into the really early years because honestly, that feels like talking about violence just like for the sake of violence. I want to talk about modern America. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is my notes. Not when we were pooping in buckets and throwing it into cobblestone streets or using leeches to get ghosts out of our blood.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Ghosts out of our blood?
Yeah, medieval medicine, the best.
Oh, my Lord.
The best. Yeah, dude, ghosts in your blood, medieval medicine. That's like, that was 100% a thing.
God, humans are weird.
Oh, yeah, I know. And maybe just a little further past the time of, oh, go do some cocaine and smoke a cigarette about it era of medicine as well. I found a time to sneak in some comedy, so I had to do it.
Humans are so strange. Goose agrees.
Yeah, she drives me crazy. Okay. Okay, now I need to get serious. So, yeah, no, Goose, fucking serious. This is really bad. September 2nd, 1983 in Mississippi, Jimmy Lee Gray, age 34. Officials had to clear the room 8 minutes after gas was released when Gray's desperate gasps for air repulsed witnesses. His attorney, Dennis Blask of Montgomery, Alabama, criticized state's officials for clearing the room when the inmate was still alive. Said noted death penalty defense attorney, David Brook, Jimmy Lee Gray died banging his head against a steel pole in the gas chamber, while reporters counted his moans. 11, according to the Associated Press.
Who the fuck is counting somebody's moans as they die in a gas chamber and not from the gas?
Later, it was revealed that the executioner, Barry Bruce, was drunk.
Yo, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Jesse Tefaro was found guilty of murdering two police officers during a traffic stop in 1976 and was sentenced to death by electric chair. On May 4th, 1990, Tefaro was strapped to an electric chair, which malfunctioned 3 times. Before long, Tefaro's head burst into flames that stretched 6 inches long. The spectacle was so horrifying that it allegedly inspired Stephen King to write a similar execution scene in The Green Mile.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Quote, "It took 7 minutes before the prisoner doctor pronounces him dead. 7 minutes of heaving, nodding, flame, and smoke," one witness reported.
Whoa. I'm sorry. They didn't put it out?
No.
Oh.
Because I misreported last time. They don't stop it. They do not intervene once the execution has started.
How can a human sit there and watch that happen?
After he died, the man who testified against him in court admitted he was the one who killed the two police officers.
Oh, mother.
It is said that the horror of this botched execution led Florida and many other states to start to rethink electrocution as the most humane form of capital punishment, paving the way for lethal injection to become the first choice for many execution chambers across the country. Okay, just a couple more. Angel Diaz was sentenced to death in Florida in 1986 for being convicted of the crime of murdering the manager of a strip club. Diaz maintained his innocence the entire time he was on death row. AllThat'sInteresting.com says, "With Diaz having represented himself in court as a non-native speaker of English and a key informant later saying that he lied about the supposed confession from Diaz, the governor of Puerto Rico asked the Florida governor Jeb Bush for clemency, but the request was ultimately denied." He was brought to the execution room in 2006, and his final statement as the injection began was, "The state of Florida is killing an innocent man. The state of Florida is committing a crime because I am innocent. The death penalty is not only a form of vengeance, but is also a cowardly act by humans." It took 3 times the typical amount of time for him to die, 30 minutes. He had to be injected with the chemical dose a second time, which left deep chemical burns in both of his arms.
Oh my God.
10 minutes into the execution, he managed to ask, "What is going on?" In his final moments, Diaz grimaced in pain and appeared to struggle to breathe. Afterward, it was later revealed that the needles meant to inject the drugs into his veins had been pushed through the vessels into some nearby soft tissue, explaining the chemical burns. The execution was so botched that it led the governor to temporarily halt all lethal injections until the investigation was over and the protocol could be reviewed. One expert candidly said, "It really sounds like he was tortured to death."
Yeah.
I said in the last episode that doctors sometimes have to revive prisoners, but that's actually only if they take their own life before the execution.
Once the
execution has started, they do not try to revive them. I could go on and continue to talk about the violent deaths of various people, but I just have one more particular instance for any of those who are saying, "Yeah, but those were a while ago." This leads us to the death of Joe Nathan James Jr. in Alabama of this year, 2022. From The Guardian.
Is this the one I sent you?
I don't know if this is the one. Ramon Vargas?
I can't remember. I'll have to look back at the video.
Yeah.
I'm bad with names.
I'm not sure because there was another one.
I mean, I'm not surprised that there are multiple from this year.
Yeah. Well, just wait. From The Guardian, author Ramon Antonio Vargas writes, "James was convicted of murder and sentenced to die in the 1994 killing of 26-year-old Faith Hall. Hall had briefly dated James before she rejected him and he shot her to death in Birmingham, investigators have said. The daughters of Hall wanted James to spend the rest of his life imprisoned and pleaded for him to not be executed. Nonetheless, Alabama officials pumped lethal injection drugs into James the night of the 28th of July at his punishment for Hall's murder. James was supposed to be put to death at 6 p.m. that night, but it wasn't until about 9 p.m. that media witnesses were allowed to enter the execution chamber. And then it wasn't until 9:27 that officials pronounced him dead. However, citing evidence from James' autopsy, as well as sources quoted in recent report from The Atlantic on his death, Reprieve US maintains that it is clear the lethal injection began long before media witnesses were admitted into the execution chamber. The organization said James' execution team unsuccessfully tried for 3 hours to insert an IV line before attempting a cut-down procedure that may have caused the condemned man to struggle, leaving him with injuries on his hands and wrists. Officials then reportedly sedated James, which may have explained why he never opened his eyes or moved on the gurney after media witnesses were admitted into the execution chamber.
Oh my God.
He also never spoke when asked if he had any last words.
Holy shit.
The Reprieve U.S. director argued that James essentially underwent two executions, saying, first, a torturous procedure behind closed doors, then a theatrical performance for witnesses.
Not wrong about that.
Absolutely not wrong.
I do not think that is the one that I sent you a TikTok of.
No, because I think...
Because I do not remember those details, and that is crazy.
Yeah. Like I said before, I could go on and on about just, like, talking about the gruesome deaths of these people. That feels exploitative, and I don't want to. I already feel gross. But I wanted to cover at least one way that all of these things have gone wrong, like, fucking horribly.
Mm-hmm. Well, people need to know that they've gone wrong, that this happens, how badly they've gone wrong.
Yeah. So, pulled a quote about the firing squad because I was curious about that. So, the Marshall Project says South Carolina is not alone. Oklahoma and Mississippi have also formally adopted the firing squad, although Utah remains the only state that has actually used the method in the last century.
Oh, Utah. But, like, why am I not surprised? Just the last century caught me off guard, but I'm not surprised that it's Utah.
The U.S. Supreme Court has told death row prisoners that if they want to fight lethal injection in court, they need to propose an alternative. However, following dozens of botched, evidently painful lethal injections in recent years, prisoners in at least 10 other states have been making a surreal argument. They all would prefer the firing squad.
Yo, that is crazy.
Yeah. There were quotes of people being like, I wish you guys would just take me out back and shoot me in the head.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Like, more people than I would like to admit are like, please just take me out back and shoot me.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My jaw is on the floor.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be an episode on death penalty if I didn't go a little further into how many people have been wrongfully executed.
Fuck me up, fam.
Yeah. These numbers were difficult to, like, kind of track down, so I have a series of some stats. Since 1973, 190 former death row prisoners have been exonerated of all charges.
Wow.
Yeah. That's 190 people who are going to be murdered. Do you want to know which state had the most? Do you want to guess?
Is it fucking Utah?
No.
Oh, is it Florida?
It's Florida.
Of course it is.
Florida.
Florida's insane.
Florida followed by Texas.
Oh, not so.
I have a breakdown by state that I can send you. We will post.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
We'll post this bad boy on the socials. All right, I'm going to text this to you.
Okay.
Just waiting for you to notice something.
All right, so we've got Florida with the most.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that Utah has had zero death row exonerations?
Oh my God. Oh. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Oh shit.
They're second.
Oh, wow.
New Jersey has not had any. Interesting. I feel like there's definitely some people here who have been wrongly convicted. But maybe not to death row. I don't know if New Jersey does
capital punishment.
I'm going to look that up right now while you tell us some other numbers.
Whoa, I just muted myself. Okay, so here's another interesting breakdown.
Before you continue with your numbers and things, capital punishment in New Jersey is currently abolished.
Hell yeah.
Yes. After former governor of New Jersey, John Corzine, signed a law repealing it in 2007. Before this, capital punishment was used, hold on. I can't read.
That's fair.
Before this, capital punishment was used, and at least 361 people have been executed. This is in New Jersey.
Oh.
But it's abolished here, which is as of 2007.
That's 2007. Since we were in high school.
Thanks, Corzine.
That's amazing. So the second image that I just sent you is exonerations by race, as well as year of exonerations.
All right, all right. Am I going to be disappointed?
No, because it's the 103 of the 190 exonerations on this are Black people.
It makes me so happy to see that. Well, I mean, if you're innocent, I hope you're exonerated. But there's only 67 white people.
Yes.
So
what that is pointing to, however, from the Death Penalty Info website is that Black people are about 7.5 times more likely to be wrongfully convicted of murder in the U.S. than whites.
And there's the disappointment.
And 80% more likely to be innocent than others convicted of murders.
Oh, fuck.
According to a new report by the National Registry of Exonerations, the already disproportionate risk of wrongful conviction, the registry found, was even worse if the murder victim in the case was white.
Wow.
The report, Race and Wrongful Convictions in the United States, 2022, reviewed the cases of 3,200 innocent defendants exonerated in the United States since 1989. Black people, the researchers found, were 7 times more likely to be wrongfully convicted and were more likely to be targets of police misconduct and more likely to be imprisoned longer before being exonerated.
Yep.
So
that tracks. Yeah.
So before everyone is like, look at all these Black people getting exonerated, it should be so much more. And to end this on a bummer, Oklahoma will soon be executing death row inmates at a pace of about one man per month, with plans to put to death 25 prisoners over the next 2 years.
What the fuck?
Despite cries by critics and experts who point not only to the outstanding questions of mental fitness or possible innocence of some, but also the state's recent history of botched lethal injections.
Wow.
It is just yet one more reckless move by Oklahoma. Deborah Deno, a Fordham University law professor, told CNN of the state's scheduled execution timetable, which she said is in line with its staunch, decades-long record of capital punishment. If there were going to be any state that was going to do something so obviously irresponsible and unjust, it would be the state of Oklahoma, given the history.
Oh, wow. Sick burn.
Right? Yeah, and that's what I wanted to end on, that sick burn.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Katie.
Yeah.
That was crazier than I thought it was going to be.
A wild fucking ride. So if any medical professionals are listening to this and can explain to us the nuances of the AMA Code of Ethics saying that doctors can't be involved and laws requiring them to be, I will give you $15 to sit down and talk with me.
Let us know.
Yeah. So that's executions part two.
Nice. Thanks, Katie.
Yeah. Anytime.
And I guess we'll see y'all next week.
Yes, absolutely.
Bye.
Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at al2kpodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/al2kpodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.